I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to I'm Listening. My special guest today is comedian Sarah Garner, who I recently discovered has a very interesting background when it comes to psychology. So I thought she would be a great guest to talk about Frasier and Niles and sort of, you know, their approaches to therapy. So please welcome Sarah Garner to the podcast. Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
How are you today? Oh,
I'm great. It's so great to be here.
So I'm really excited to get into sort of your background, because yeah. You did mention off the air that both of your parents are psychologists.
Yeah, they are both clinical psychologists, and they do therapy. My dad doesn't do therapy full time anymore, but mm-hmm. they both are therapists, and like that's what they've done my whole life.
Gotcha. All right. So obviously I'm going to have so many questions. I'm so excited to get into it. But before, I always like to ask all new guests, you know, what is their history with Frasier? How did you get into it?
Yeah, I think I watched it a little bit when it was actually out, but I was pretty young at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think my most recent Frasier experience is my mom had knee replacement surgery last May. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, I was taking care of her for like a couple weeks, and we were looking for something to watch every night as we're falling asleep, and we found Frasier on Netflix, and so we binged the entire show. Wow. In like 2 weeks.
Whoa.
Yeah. It might have been excessive, but it was a lot of fun. And so that really refreshed my love for it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was cool to get to watch it with my mom, who comes with a background of psychology.
Yeah. I mean, what is that experience? Like, I've never watched that show with a, you know, a health professional sitting next to me. So did she often critique the show as you guys were watching it?
Well, yeah. I mean, a health professional on painkillers, no less. Like, yeah, even more
better.
Fun. Yeah, she – not really. I think she is pretty good at – like separating the fact that this is a comedy show. So mm-hmm. she would always just talk about how well written it was.
Sure.
But I think like this morning I talked to her and I told her I was doing this podcast. And so then that's when she started to kind of dive into the more psychological perspective about it, which was really interesting. Yeah.
Let me ask you. So in terms of, okay, so you watched it with your mom. Was that the you may have told me this. Was that the first time you watched it or you had watched it previously?
No, I'd watched it before.
You had?
Yeah, but I was young, so I don't think I really understood. And like when your parents are both therapists mm-hmm. and you're young, you kind of like the world is through this lens mm-hmm. of mental health, which I didn't realize until I got older and met other people whose parents weren't therapists. So it's like you don't even notice
sure.
all of that stuff that probably seemed kind of foreign to other people when they were watching it.
Absolutely. I mean, even today in my research, and I went on Reddit, which is good and bad just because you know, fall into a dark hole. But I found a thread called, you know, who's a better psychologist, Fraser or Niles, which mm-hmm. we can talk about for sure later.
Definitely.
But somebody mentioned – oh, I lost my train of thought. they were talking about, who is a better psychologist, and essentially came to the conclusion that Fraser was a Freudian psychologist and Niles is a Jungian? Jung, is it Carl Jung?
Jung.
Okay, see? I'm already learning how to pronounce names. And then I confirmed that theory because I read an article by interviewing David Hyde Pierce, who plays Niles, where he said that is true.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. He's a Freudian psychologist versus uh-huh. his brother, who is not.
And they're like both bullshit. I can swear, right?
You absolutely. Okay, can. Yes. Absolutely.
Just spoiler alert. Like both of those theories are pretty much not evidence based. So.
All right. Well, I definitely want to. I'm going to make a note of that. They're both bullshit and then we can talk about it. But I am curious. So as you watch the show for a second time, maybe by now you know, do you have a favorite character?
Yeah. My favorite character is Maris.
Whoa. She's not even there.
She's not even there.
So I'm curious.
But she...
Why?
I think every joke about Maris is the funniest joke. And... I almost feel bad for loving her so much, but because she's like very ill and there's just like I feel like I know her so well because she is my parents' patients in so many ways. Right.
Really?
Yeah. And so I think every joke about her is the funniest. I feel like I know her. So I think she's probably my favorite character. And I think second would definitely be Niles.
I love Niles. I'm a big fan of his inferiority complex. Just creates a compelling character. But I'm curious. So you were saying, you know, you recognize Maris in a lot of your parents' patients. So given what you know about her, what would you say are some of the things physically and mentally she is suffering from?
Yeah, she's super, super sick.
Mm-hmm. Thin.
Which shouldn't be funny. Yeah, so she's definitely anorexic. My dad runs a clinic for... people with eating disorders. Mm-hmm. So I think I like picked up on those references.
That makes sense.
Well, and I think she like suffers from a lot of anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. And I think she might be agoraphobic. I don't know. I'm not a professional though, so I can't like diagnose her. But
that's fine. I ask because when I was a psych major, fun fact, for 2 years before I gave up because I realized I had to take a lot of math and sciences classes, and it's neither of those subjects is a strong point for me. but I was for sure the most interesting part of abnormal psych or of psych was abnormal psychology, like specifically that class and just getting into mm-hmm. Mental illnesses and classifying them. And one of the assignments we had was to watch the movie Sophie's Choice and diagnose, I believe, Kevin Kline's character with whatever was wrong with him. It's been a long time, so I don't even remember how that went, but it was a very interesting exercise. So that I was curious what you thought about of Maris. I definitely agree that she was anorexic for sure.
Yeah.
The agoraphobic thing is starting to click for me though. Yeah. Didn't think about it and now thinking, wait, she was never outside like ever.
Yeah.
Never with her husband. I definitely want to know more about your parents.
Sure.
So I'm curious in terms of, you know, your mom and your dad, Well, you know what? How did they meet? Because I am curious. I mean, you know that Frasier's first wife, or excuse me, second wife, or third wife, he was married three times. Lilith, I believe, was his third wife, mm-hmm. who was also a therapist.
Yeah.
So how did your parents meet?
So they, and it's embarrassing to say, I'm like actually kind of fuzzy on the details.
That's okay.
I think my dad was working at, I think he was working at the hospital as part of University of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my mom was doing like an internship there.
Got it.
My dad's like 5 years older than my mom.
Okay.
That's
an acceptable age gap.
I think so. So I think he was working on his PhD mm-hmm. at the time, and she was in an internship.
Gotcha.
I believe is what happened.
So in terms of, I know you mentioned a little bit, but I'm curious, what is the background in terms of your parents, in terms of their sure. focuses as psychologists?
Yeah, my dad he studies eating disorders, mm-hmm. and he's actually, fun fact, not to brag, but
brag away.
The most cited person in the world in the research of eating
wow.
disorders.
Okay.
So he like developed the diagnostic test that people use to diagnose people with eating disorders. There are two tests, and most people use those.
Did not know there were tests, but it makes sense.
Yeah. So he developed those, and now he runs a clinic mm-hmm. In Ohio mm-hmm. For patients with he's mostly retired now, but that was his life's work. And then my mom got her PhD in school psychology, so she dealt a lot with like learning disabilities, mm-hmm. Testing kids, doing that. And then what she did was she ended up working in the adolescent unit at mm-hmm. my dad's clinic.
Oh.
And now she does therapy full time, and she works with like a number of issues, whether they are like working with kids, or she works with adults too.
Got
and
it.
Not just eating disorders.
Well, so I know that I left off in my like schooling of I dropped out after 2 years. I had learned enough that there's, you know, different approaches to therapy, and I myself am in therapy and I'm a huge fan of it. So I used to be able to know the different classifications, and this may be the right or wrong question, but like, for example, I'm a huge fan of cognitive behavioral therapy.
Sure.
And it's, I believe, popular or, you know, helpful, especially for people with anxiety disorders.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's, you know, psychodynamic, psychoanalytic, mm-hmm. and there's probably a few more. So I'm curious in terms of how your parents approach, or like your mom who does specifically see different patients, does she have a specific approach?
Yeah. My mom, I think both my parents and what is the dominant theory of right now mm-hmm. is CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy, or also dialectical behavioral therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think not a therapist, but there also have been in a lot of therapy. And so I think those are used together more than anything else. And I think Frasier and Niles would lie more on the psychodynamic side. And that is like, that's the classic Freudian laying on the couch, digging up all the bad memories.
The unconscious.
The unconscious mind.
Sex with your mom.
Yeah, exactly. All the creepy stuff. And that is, while there's still definitely people that do that, I think it's just less prominent now because it's not shown to be as effective.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me personally, there's me and my dad. My dad has obsessive compulsive disorder.
Got it.
And so I myself do not have OCD, but I definitely have anxiety. And I recognize if you're dealing with something, I guess perhaps not a traumatic event, that it's just so helpful to figure out what you can do in
yeah.
terms of, you know, your behaviors and or your thoughts and how they affect your behaviors. It's just, I've definitely seen that help my dad,
yeah.
the CBT approach,
yeah.
and myself. So I'm definitely a big fan. I'm curious, growing up with two parents that are therapists,
yeah.
is it hard to win a fight?
Oh, my gosh.
Did you guys yeah. fight? Like, how does it work?
Yeah. That's such a weird question. I think people – no, it's a great question because And people usually like approach when they find that out. They, first, they're like, oh, no, like they can't believe it. And it's like, actually, you know, therapists spend a lot of time together. So it would make sense that they would get together. But people usually ask me, like, did people or did your parents do therapy on you growing up? Mm-hmm. And like, I guess I actually don't know.
Yeah.
And I've never thought about how they fight and how disagreements happen. So my parents are divorced.
Gotcha.
So they did fight a lot growing up. And there were fights in my house that I think were the same as any other fight. I think the difference always, and I think the difference in me now, is just that I am so painfully self-aware. Like everybody in the house is so self-aware, which is a good thing, and I think the world needs more self-awareness. Like people need to understand who they are more. But I think when you're in a house where you're surrounded by mental health, everyone is so painfully self-aware and painfully understanding of their own strengths and weaknesses, and there's almost like normal relationships happen despite that.
It totally makes sense. I mean, before meeting you, fun fact, I'd say probably the meanest person I had ever met. And I think this was it might just be, you know, a coincidence. But I remember at one point I had watched at least half of the first season of American Horror Story. And I don't know if you watch that show, but the first season takes place in a house that's, you know, haunted. Just your classic scary stuff. And it's like a family, and the dad is a psychologist, and he takes patients in his home. So that's weird. Okay.
Right?
I'm glad you told me
that. That's, I feel like that's a weird.
I didn't know if that was normal or not normal or like out of the ordinary. And then I think a year later, I worked with somebody who was easily the meanest and most manipulative person I've ever met. Mm-hmm. She was just the kind of person who would say, okay, here's an example. What is it, a backhanded insult or backhanded compliment? I didn't wear makeup to work. I guess I was didn't fully understand the dynamics of work yet. And I was naive to think I could be a woman who just didn't even put foundation
God
on.
God forbid.
And at this particular job, this was working in TV. So she said something to me, like, this coworker was like, I love how you just don't wear makeup because, like, you just don't care. Like, and I thought that's a perfect example of her. So she told me her dad was a therapist and he took patients in his home, and that struck me. And I just thought, you know, then I met one more person who I do like, and his mom is a therapist, and he's also the kind of person, very nice, extremely self-aware, and I just thought these can't be coincidences, right? I mean, just in terms of how you would you say this, there, obviously this is going to be a yes, but I'm curious in terms of how you interact with other people, whether it be your friends or or, you know, even in relationships, how much of your approach with your friends and or loved ones is affected by your parents and the way they interacted with you?
Yeah, it's like that's such a weird thing. And I think I've spent my whole life trying to like parse the two things.
Yeah.
Like what is me and what is my upbringing, which I guess is the ultimate question. And I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because I think you see it in Frasier too. Like whether you're a therapist, whether your parents are therapists, whether you are super self-aware, whether you have an understanding of mental health, it doesn't matter if you are the best therapist in the world, you are still you. So like if you're a narcissist, you're still a narcissist. Like you're still, if you're a mean person, like you're still an asshole.
Absolutely.
No matter how much knowledge you have about it. So I think it is like it has to be twofold. Like it has to, like I think I have a better intellectual understanding of people when I meet them. Like I've always felt that weird thing, like I get you, like I know your story, and I think I'm usually, not to brag, pretty close, like I'm pretty close, and I can understand people. But I don't know if that's just naturally, because like it could be anything. Like it could be I'm just naturally like a perceptive person. It could be that I've lived my life with therapists my whole life. It could be because I've lived my life with people who are attracted to mental health that they're naturally very perceptive and they pass that on to me. Like I just, there's no way to know. I do know that my friends like love to come to me with questions and with for advice, or like, if nothing else, for emotional validation of like, actually, it's pretty normal to feel these feelings.
Sure, sure. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, it's funny. I think this is a pretty good rule, but you know, I've been seeing the same therapist. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious if she listens to this podcast, but
I hope she does.
I've been seeing her for many years, uh-huh. and I don't know that much about her. I was actually
so weird, right?
I'm still trying to figure out how to work this into like stand up, but this person that I see that knows everything about me, I don't know anything about her. It's so weird.
Yeah. And it feels weird to ask, right?
Yes.
Like, there's like this weird boundary of like, I can't actually ask you these questions.
There's a boundary. And for me, it makes her almost a bit mystical and mm-hmm. and less human. Not in yeah. a bad way. I almost don't want to know.
Yeah.
Like I constantly think about, you know, the thought of her being an imperfect person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for you, it's like you see all sides of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we want, like, I think like people can fall into two camps. Like, one, they want their therapist to be like this angelic, mystical being sure. that is just there to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think there are also people, and I think we like see this in Frasier also, but I think like there are also people who desperately want their therapist to be as fucked up as they are.
Hmm.
And I'm like wondering, like, what is the, like, what's the difference there?
I mean, it's funny that you said that because I never thought about that. I think I always, for me, my fear is discovering, like, if I, like, for example, this is a worry I've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
If I've used the bathroom, if I have to use the bathroom after her, I've been worried in the past that she's going to leave pee on the toilet seat. Because that would make her
yeah.
imperfect.
Yeah.
What I have thought about, which is not something I definitely thought of until I stopped being a psych major, was mm-hmm. how often people get into psychology because of their fucked up family.
Totally.
Which I am guilty of for sure.
For sure.
You know, I wrote a screenplay. Gotta figure that out. But that was the first screenplay I wrote. I was a screenwriting major. I wrote have you ever heard of the movie War of the Roses?
Yeah.
Okay, so listeners, if you're not familiar, in my opinion, a great film. Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner, they're getting divorced, and essentially, they end up trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
I think is the whole movie is them.
As you do when you get divorced.
As you do when you're getting divorced. My parents are divorced. Totally fine. They're actually good friends. Live near each other. Very helpful for me growing up.
Yeah.
You know, commuting. But both of my parents have obsessive compulsive disorder.
Oh, God.
And
that's like a.
It did not bring them together.
Yeah.
That was definitely part of the reason they got divorced.
Yeah.
It was as if they had like competing mm-hmm. mental illnesses and competing yeah. like obsessions and compulsions. So I wrote a screenplay that was supposed to be about them getting divorced, except that they both have OCD and they're trying to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think it's got the reason I brought all of this up, I think that's definitely part of the reason I got into psychology. I was like, oh, there's all kinds of fun yeah. stuff on my mom's side. And it was just like a very startling realization, and also makes me realize, oh, I'm sure my therapist has her own private reasons why she got into therapy.
Yeah, I think so. My dad has like hired therapists too. Mm-hmm. And so I've also like heard things through that lens of like, yeah, a lot of people do get into psychology because of their own issues.
For sure.
Because they're seeking some sort of solace
yeah.
from it. I you brought up like a really good point about understanding your parents' diagnosis more and
sure.
just like the desire to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I've lived my life knowing everyone's diagnosis, like whether I wanted to or not. And it was just like that's the language that we used
yeah.
to talk about people. Like, oh, so-and-so has like a little bit of this and, you know, and it was never weird to me that
sure.
people would have mental illness. I have my own crippling anxiety problems. And I think like the idea of like diagnosing everybody is just a weird.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely I know that I can't do that because I just didn't grow up with
right.
that. And if anything, it's like,
why do I go to therapy? You know, part of it is I overthink things a lot.
Yeah.
And I think too much about mm-hmm. certain people. I'm curious, do you feel like, you know, the fact that you are, you know, you're intuitive, I guess, perhaps. Yeah. Do you feel like that's helped or not helped in dating in the past?
I have no idea. I'm just like it's so funny that you bring that up because I think that's like the only part in my life that I am not with it.
I don't know who is.
Yeah, right.
And I, you know, so that's the thing. That's why I asked because I'm curious. It's like, you know, everyone comes to each other for romance advice. I know that mm-hmm. I have realized in the past if there's certain things I was worried about, you know, I deep down I wanted a friend to be like, you're wrong. This isn't a red flag. You're fine.
Yeah.
Because I know that it's so much easier if somebody comes to me and is like, oh, this person is clearly, you know, not great and things are not going to work out. And it's, mm-hmm. I can see that so easily, but it's so hard to do it when it's you.
It's so hard to do it.
Right?
I think I'm the worst because I'm so arrogant when it comes to like understanding people because mm-hmm. I
would be too.
Right? And so like, even if somebody were to come to me and say, like, that's a red flag, you should really be concerned about this, I'd be like, I know what I'm doing. I'm fine. I get
my
people.
Parents. I would be very annoying if I were you and I go, my parents. I grew up with psychologists, okay? Like,
I know that people can live normal lives with bipolar disorder. I know. So what? He's not medicated. So what?
There you go.
But I think it just, like, there's a level of arrogance that, like, allows me to kind of get away with doing what I want.
Of course.
Even though I know better.
I would use it to my advantage all the time mm-hmm. if I had that advantage. Is there I will definitely move on to the more Frasier. This is just so interesting. I'm completely fascinated.
This is a great conversation.
By all of this. But I'm curious and totally respect. I may have been one of those people to ask, but I assume it comes up, obviously.
Yeah.
Both of your parents are psychologists. And then when you are on a date, for example, or just meeting somebody, is there a question that you're like, I wish that nobody would ever ask me this question again once they find out that both my parents were therapists? This probably isn't a good comparison, but like, you know, I try and be more aware of when I meet really tall people because often they've told me people say you're really tall and then they're like, I know. Why are you telling me?
And you're also a very short, like we are both petite.
People. I've heard. Yep. And that's why I have great sympathy for extremely tall people.
Yeah. And like that's the most annoying thing when somebody's like, oh my God, you're so, like, it's annoying, but it's also fun when like, oh my God, you're so tiny.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, that sounds awfully condescending. I'm a person and I'm aware of my height.
I'm a grown up. I think I used to hate the question of did they do therapy on you growing up? Because like also that just doesn't exist, right? Like I don't pay them.
No, it's not cheap.
But I don't hate that question anymore because I had this moment when I was home for Christmas. My brother got married last year. Mm-hmm. So it's been interesting to see, like, I just have one brother and then my parents. My parents worked a lot. Like, my brother and I are very close. So there was, like, never another, like, I didn't have a sister. And so it's been cool to, like, get a sister into the house now, like, through my sister-in-law. But then also it's been cool because she brings in this totally different perspective as, mm-hmm. like, being part of our family but not growing up the way we did. And so she said something over Christmas where I, like, made a comment of, like, yeah, people always ask, because I'm trying to work it into my stand-up that my parents are therapists, and it's kind of hard. And
it is hard.
It's like, what is funny about this? So my sister-in-law said something of, like, I said something about people always ask, you know, did they do therapy on you growing up? And Mimi's like, oh, they totally did. Like, I know they did. And I was like, how do you know, Mimi? And she goes, because I was talking to your mom, like, last time I was visiting, and I was talking about this, like, problem I was having, and before I knew it, and she was just listening. Like, she was just listening and being great, and then before I knew it, I'm, like, laying on the couch, like, crying, like, telling her my problems, and I was like, I guess you really can't escape it.
I guess not. Well, also, because it's, like, what becomes the difference? You know, obviously, you're going to have heart-to-hearts with parents.
Yeah.
So what separates it from being therapy versus not?
Totally. And it's like on this weird intellectual level where I'm like, Mom, I know you know what you're doing, but also you're like a great freaking mom because you're listening to me. So there was no actual like therapy, but like definitely interactions where my parents could not escape their therapeutic background.
Sure.
And I think it was probably annoying, but also really great at the same time.
I have complete faith that you will work it in.
Right?
I think you will. Perhaps after today.
Maybe today will be the inspiration
this
I need.
This will inspire it.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. Calling all lovers of mystery. Prepare to don your detective hat in June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective who is on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. Take a trip in time to the glitzy 20s to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. If, like me, you get sad when a story comes to a close, never fear. With June's Journey, the thrill is endless, since new chapters are added weekly. And not only can you enjoy the detective adventure, but you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island, where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So you did mention that you talked to your mom yesterday about
this morning
about the podcast that you were doing. So did you guys talk about, because I was going to ask you, you know, essentially, you know, I was thinking about Frasier and Niles and their approaches. Frasier's Freudian. Niles is, say his name again.
Jungian?
Yeah. Is Jungian. So, yeah, I guess I want to start with Frasier, who I actually have an excerpt, which I'll just read you from. He is Freudian. And, you know, when I found a Reddit thread about who's a better psychologist, somebody cited as proof a clip from the show that he's Freudian, which is season 1, episode 4. This episode is called Kissing Cousins. Roz's cousin, who is played by Zooey Deschanel, a very young Zooey Deschanel, comes to visit. And she brings Frasier a bust of Freud to try and be ironic. So Frasier says, well, a bust of Freud, that's really quite thoughtful of you. And she says, I figured you'd appreciate the irony since he's been proven wrong about practically everything. And Frasier says, I like to think that Freud's theories will withstand the test of time. She says, really, have you read any of his books? And he says, excuse me, young lady. And then he is about to launch into a tirade about it. So he's definitely pro-Freudian.
Yeah.
So I guess, given that you watch this show with your mom, what is she? Does she have any specific thoughts, or do you have any specific thoughts, the both of you, on his approach throughout the show?
Yeah. So I don't get it. In some ways, I don't get it because, one, also, he's not a psychologist; he's a psychiatrist. So he's a medical doctor, and Freud is not evidence-based, so research has proven it to not be very helpful, that mode of therapy. And so I don't get how somebody with a medical degree and a medical background who's supposed to be really evidence-based is like a Freud fanboy in some way.
Maybe, yeah. Part of me wonders if that was like a mix-up.
Yeah, it is funny because I think that in the world at large, there's people think that psychologists and psychiatrists are interchangeable, but they're not at all. And I think that's like a common thing in the world that people don't know the difference. So a psychiatrist is a medical doctor. That's where you get your drugs from. That's who gives you the Xanax that you need. And then a psychologist usually has like a PhD or a PsyD, and they like psychiatrists typically don't do a lot of therapy. They do mostly medicine checks, and then psychologists will do more therapy, and they can't prescribe medicine.
Given my own history, and I don't know if you think this is correct or if you have any observations, I feel like, I mean, at a certain point, I was only seeing a therapist, and then finally got up the guts to see a psychiatrist about anxiety medication. Quite expensive.
Oh,
that hourly expensive rate for a psychiatrist is whoo-hoo,
right?
Through the roof.
Crazy. They see you in 15-minute intervals.
Yeah. Is it because of that medical degree
that
they get to charge so much money?
They go to the same number of years of school, I think. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
But they are making some money.
They're making a lot of money. It's crazy, too, because, you know, I feel like whenever I think of, you know, the good drugs, I personally don't take pills recreationally, as in, you know, sometimes people will say things to me like, oh, I was at this party and like we took some Xanax. I was like, where are you getting Xanax?
How did you get this?
I don't know. And I've never had an experience where I could like easily obtain medication. So the only thing I can think of, especially in New York when I was shopping around for psychiatrists, was they had some very expensive rates, and I thought, oh, who can afford these? Very wealthy people.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that helps.
Probably.
To be wealthy, to get all the quote-unquote fun drugs, good drugs. I am not interested in taking Xanax. I just wanted to bring that up.
I have taken it like prescribed, but I am not. Yeah, I'm like, that does not sound fun.
Yeah. I mean, I personally fought taking anxiety medication. I don't know. Very scared of pills.
Sure.
And you know, when I got my wisdom teeth taken out, I think I was given codeine.
Yeah.
I only took it once, and I was convinced when I was in pain after I took it that I was, like, in withdrawal. But really, it was like, oh, you should have kept taking it because, like, you're in pain. And, I mean, I'm pretty relieved to discover, because then I had surgery a few years ago, and they gave me, I'd consider the heavy stuff, which was oxycodone. Mm-hmm. I did not enjoy it.
I hate it.
I don't like being drugged up. It is not fun for me.
It was terrible. When I got my wisdom teeth out, I think I took like a half a pill, and I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
I never want to feel this way ever again.
No.
And so I was like hitting Tylenol for the rest of the time.
You know what? Good for us. Yeah. I think that really says good things about both of us.
Obviously, moral superiority.
Yes, very smart. So, okay. So,
sorry, that was a tangent.
Oh, no. Yeah. I completely went off and started talking about pills because I can't help it. This is also interesting to both of us.
Yeah.
So in terms of Fraser's approach, I agree with you. I think something does not add up there, especially because it's like he's a psychiatrist who then has a radio show.
Right. And
Only part of that that makes a little bit of sense to me is I think of the TV doctors that we have and what quacks they are, such as Dr. Phil, I think is a very good example.
Insane.
I don't know what his background was as an actual I don't know what his medical background is.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, does it really matter what your background is, or more of like, what do you come off as? And I feel like Fraser as a character and as a psychologist and his voice and what he was saying to people on the radio was like what you want to hear, like a very calm, almost weirdly British sounding voice.
Though, I think the whole show is built on like, I feel like therapy got trendy in the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. And then this was in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And so I think the whole show is built on this, on public perception of what a psychiatrist, when people don't actually know like what that is, like built on public perception of what therapy is and what psychiatrists and psychologists do and like who are the prominent theories, like nobody knows. It's built on that, and it's built on like public perception of mental health.
Sure.
And in some ways it's great because it gets people talking about mental health, but in other ways, it's like actually built on all these erroneous perceptions of what mental health is, because everybody has heard of Freud, right? Like when you say you studied psychology, people are like, oh, Freud.
Yep.
And you're like, actually, he did a lot of cocaine and is a crazy person, and like all of his theories are sexist. Like, but that's what people know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really easy and it's good fodder for entertainment to have this guy studying Freud. That's just what people get and what people understand.
Absolutely. I mean, as you and your mom are watching it, does any particular moment come to mind or episode that you guys were watching where she had any kind of very strong opinion about psychology or, you know, Fraser's approach or Niles' approach?
My mom's pretty good at separating. Yeah.
That's what makes her a good psychologist.
I know. God bless her.
And mother.
Mom, shout out, Mom. Hope you're listening.
Hi, Karen. That's my therapist. Yes.
Maureen, this one's for you.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. So, yes, I was definitely curious. It sounds like your mom, even on painkillers, is able to separate good TV from an actual, you know, how to approach medicine.
Even when I asked her this morning, she said like, yeah, duh, it's all crazy, but it's just such a well-written show.
Absolutely.
I was like, Mom, way to have a comedy mindset.
I mean, sometimes even just the way the fights break out between Niles and Fraser almost feel like mathematics. Like it's just like one zinger after another.
Does it feel, so like I think Niles has OCD.
Yeah. And so like, for sure.
Tell me what your, like what that brings up for you, given your parents have both have OCD.
I mean, I think the strange part is watching that show even now, it's like that just dawned on me. Like I knew he had OCD, but even I, in a way, somehow separated my parents from that show, also because they're not, you know, therapists.
Yeah.
But for me, like watching Frasier and enjoying it comes from a place of nostalgia.
Yeah.
So like I watched it as a kid. And I don't actually know how I would feel about it or if I would like it now, but I think it definitely helps. I think part of the reason I was very into it as a kid definitely was, you know, the early stages of like, all right, I am obviously curious about and have some kind of feeling about mental illness. I know my parents both deal with it. And one day I did end up being a psych major for 2 years. But I think part of it may have stemmed from that show.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that I think about more often now is how different Frasier and Niles are from their dad.
So weird.
Right? I mean, night and day. I think there's definitely some complication if you I just started. I watched like 2 episodes of Cheers, and it definitely brings some complication into it because you never meet their mom on Frasier, but you do meet her on Cheers. Did you watch Cheers?
Yeah. Oh, I love Cheers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, still completely new show to me.
Oh, love Cheers.
But I met you meet that mom. She seems like a nut. So if anything, as we're talking about this out loud, perhaps it explains a little bit about Niles. But yeah, he definitely has OCD. I don't think I ever really thought about it too much. I will say, if we're talking about approaches to therapy, if I had to choose in that show who would be my therapist, I would pick Niles 100%.
100%.
I mean, to me, part of it is that he does have this inferiority complex. And I think it makes him a little bit more soft-spoken, a little bit less – he definitely has less of an ego. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely trust him and feel more comfortable and feel like I could really express – any feelings I was having to him and have him fully listen to me.
Yeah.
And not be like, I want to hear the sound of my own voice.
I bet Niles is a better therapist for sure. Like, Frasier is so self-absorbed. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we're all self-absorbed. I mean, and the show is about him, so I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not supposed to be about how good of a therapist he is.
Sure.
But Niles is definitely the better therapist. And I was watching the other night, I've fallen asleep to Frasier every night this week.
I do it too. It's great.
In preparation for this recording. And there was like an episode where Frasier, like, somebody calls into his show and he tells that guy to break up with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And then the girlfriend comes to the studio. Do you remember this?
Yes. And
he dates her.
Yes.
I was like, that is some creepy.
That is some super creepy stuff, and wouldn't say a very, you know, a thought or a very, I would say it's not a professional thing.
Lacking the professionalism, Frasier.
Lacking the professionalism. I think this brings us to a good point. I would love to show you a short clip from the show, and I'd love to talk about it. I thought this was a fun sort of illustration of Frasier and Niles and Lilith's approach to therapy. So there, one of my favorite episodes is called Room Service. This is from season 5, episode 15.
I remember this one.
That is when Lilith is recently, her husband has just left her, and she ends up sleeping with Niles, which... listeners, I hope you know what that means. That means Frasier's brother slept with his ex-wife. And so, you know, a majority of that episode is then Niles hiding in the bathroom. He's dealing with his own issues. He's dealing with, what's it called when you fall asleep in the middle of like a sentence?
Narcolepsy.
Yeah, he's dealing with a bout of narcolepsy because it's the only way he can handle the stress of his divorce and Maris's lawyer's calling. So... he sleeps with Lilith. Then Frasier finds out, and then the three of them discuss what was the motivation behind why Lilith and Frasier and Niles slept together.
The past few days have been the worst of my life. I have never been less self-assured, more in need of validation, both as a person and especially as a woman. Niles was feeling the same thing.
Exactly. Wait a minute.
Our physical reaction to each other was nothing more than a desperate attempt to reaffirm our own worth.
Well, that is very impressive, Dr. Sternin. But I too happen to be a psychiatrist. Let me tell you what actually transpired. This was a passive-aggressive manifestation of your deep resentments toward me. Niles, you were punishing me for my notoriety. You for my successful adjustment after our divorce. It is this shared bond that brought the two of you to your palace of sweet revenge. If you ask me, you are both off the mark. Last night was about two people ruled by very powerful superegos, tortured by them, who found a chance, however misguided, to break through and rediscover their ids together. Call me an old softy, but that's how I see it.
In terms of all of those explanations, would you say they were representative of the characters?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so,
first,
too.
Like, when you asked about how my parents fought, that's actually that's how they fought.
Really?
That's, like, totally – that is – that's why I was laughing so much, because that is totally, except without the Freud jargon, but it's like simultaneous analysis and fighting.
Mm-hmm. Sounds exhausting.
Oh, it actually is pretty exhausting. And I think it is representative of all of their approaches.
Personalities.
Yeah. And I think the funniest part of that is, like, I think – like, Frasier is insufferable, and yes. I think that's why we watch.
Yeah.
He's the worst, but we love to watch shows about the worst. Mm-hmm. And
he's pompous.
He's so pompous, and he is externalizing everything there. Like, everything is everyone else's problem, and nothing has anything to do with him, which I find very interesting because it's very indicative of just who he is and how he can't really actually separate himself from his approach.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's definitely been different episodes on this show where Niles and Frasier have used their power as mm-hmm. psychologists in a bad way.
Definitely.
I think that's a really good example, what you said, which is, well, I mean, in that case, yeah, Frasier. Actually, in the case of Frasier and dating the woman whose relationship was ruined by him giving advice, I think in the end he feels bad about it.
He does.
He does feel bad about it. But I want to give an example of Niles doing that. So,
yeah.
Spoiler alert. But Daphne and Niles eventually do get together.
The love story of the century.
The love story of the century. But before that happens, Daphne is engaged to someone else mm-hmm. named Donnie, who is actually Niles' divorce lawyer. So then Daphne has a dream about Donnie. Okay, she finds out that Donnie's going to propose marriage, and she gets really freaked out about it. And she's like, I don't know if I'm ready. Then she has this dream about a man that the man she's really supposed to be with, but he doesn't have a face, and all she knows about him is that he wears a red bow tie. So she tells all of this to Niles, and then Niles ends up essentially using that to try and manipulate this.
I remember this.
To
yeah.
manipulate Daphne out of not accepting the marriage proposal and, I guess, falling in love with him, because then he shows up at Frasier's apartment wearing a red bow tie. So I guess having that kind of influence is pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't know if your parents,
that's
well,
fucked up,
I don't know
Niles.
About you. Do you feel like they have ever used their power to get out of a situation? I know I'm referring to them
yeah.
being psychologists as actual superpowers, but I would think it's kind of helpful in certain situations.
It is kind of a superpower. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I don't think that they've ever, like, done anything that insidious.
That's good.
I think.
You probably shouldn't tell me anyway.
Shout out, parents. Way to go not being horrible. I think the thing that my dad always says is because they both have doctors in front of their names. So he does say that gets him more tables at restaurants.
Really?
So, yeah, apparently. Like, I was like, I don't think that's true. He goes, no joke. If you say, like, doctor.
Wow.
Apparently people give a shit. I had no idea. Maybe it's just in Toledo, Ohio. Like, maybe that's just
the way it is.
Yeah. Like, not enough doctors here. Give them a table.
No. Are you're from Ohio, I
think? Yeah, I grew up in Ohio.
I got it. All right. Well, hey. Oh, actually, this has to be a question you get maybe once or twice. Has anyone ever been like, hey, I can't afford a therapist? You know, either can I see you even though you're not actually a therapist?
Yeah.
Or can I see one of your parents and can you get me like a reduced rate?
Oh,
has that
God.
Ever happened?
I don't think that people have ever asked that outright.
Yeah, I guess that would be pretty crazy.
My friends growing up definitely call my mom. Like my best friend growing up was having career issues. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, can I talk to your mom? And I was like, mom, are you cool with this? Mm-hmm. My mom's usually cool with it.
Sure.
But, and then my mom did come visit a few months ago. She came to visit New York, and all of my coworkers were like, actually, can we all go to dinner with your mom? We need her.
Whoa. Intense.
Yeah.
Did you?
No, they didn't. I think a couple of them did. They didn't end up all going to dinner, but they like are waiting for the next time that mom comes to town.
Wow.
Yeah.
I meant to ask you this before. I know we talked about Freud. Yeah. Now, all I've mentioned about Jung, oh my God, I can't pronounce his name. What is it?
Jung.
Carl Jung. Okay. So Niles is a practicing Jungian.
Yeah.
Wow, it sounds so weird to
right?
me. So that, from Wiki, is analytical psychology, right?
Yeah.
The Jungian approach. It's a school of psychotherapy which originated in the ideas of Carl Jung, a Swiss psychiatrist. It emphasizes the importance of the individual psyche and the personal quest for wholeness. Do you have the same feelings about Jung versus Freud in terms of they're both quacks equally, or is, you know, psychoanalytical or psychotherapy analytical? Is analytical a better approach, just as outdated? What do you think?
It's still outdated. They're still outdated. I think Jung is probably less insane, like, and less, like, problematic than Freud.
Sure.
Because it doesn't have a lot of the same crazies. But I'm actually, like, kind of fuzzy on them. I feel like...
I am, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think I learned about them, so I also majored in psychology. Thanks, Mom and Dad. I think I'm fuzzy about it, and I feel like I kind of, like, put it out of my mind because I was like, this is...
Well, I wrote this down also from... this might be from Psychology Today. The difference between Freudian and Jungian, Wiki. Jungian. While Freudian psychoanalysis assumes that the repressed material hidden in the unconscious is given by the repressed sexual instincts, analytical psychology has a more general approach. There's no preconceived assumption about the unconscious material. The unconscious, for Jungian analysts, may contain repressed sexual drives, but also aspirations, fears, etc.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you.
I think that's less crazy.
Well, that definitely makes that Niles the better psychiatrist.
There you go.
What do your parents think? Do they have any opinions on who's a better psychiatrist in the show? Psychologist?
We didn't talk about that, but I think they would probably be aligned with us.
All right.
Yeah. My dad doesn't, weirdly enough, my dad never watched Frasier. And I feel like he doesn't love comedy, which is that's weird. Okay. Yeah,
don't.
I don't, you know, I don't get it. And I feel like he would have more trouble separating. Like, he would get pissed off about all the Freud references as, like, fact.
Huh.
Like, he would get, like, he would be like, ugh.
He couldn't separate. Right.
He would not like that.
I totally get that. Yeah, if he's not a comedy guy, then definitely not the show for him.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he would be able to separate himself. I think Mom probably... Maureen, feel free to call in with your opinions, but I think Mom would probably say Niles as well. My mom just loves Niles, too. Like, that's her fave character.
Who wouldn't? I mean, hey, Maureen, maybe she should come do the show.
Maureen,
she's ever in New York.
Maureen would be a great guest on this show.
I'm sure she would.
You would probably feel better, too, after you talk to her.
I'm sure I would. Fortunately, I think I'm glad that I do see a therapist because I recognize how often friends become your therapist. And
totally.
That can be tough because they're not therapists.
They're not therapists. And, like, how much we look to our friends.
For validation.
Like, I think there's a place for everyone. There's a place for your therapist and there's your place for your friends.
That's right.
And I think people struggle with how to separate those.
For sure. Well, this has been enlightening. This has been very enlightening. I could continue talking to you and, hey, perhaps that means a part two.
Maybe.
Maybe you and Maureen come in. Maybe you just come in. I stand by what I said. Niles is my favorite.
Yeah.
Niles is your favorite. Niles is everyone's favorite. And I'd love to have Niles, the character, come in and we can talk.
I wonder, David Hyde Pierce.
Hey.
Are you listening?
He's doing theater.
We're listening. He's here.
I think he is here. He's around. So I got to get at least him into the studio.
Yeah.
Grammar, I don't think I could handle. He's a nut in real life. He's
like
a real
kinda
nut.
Kind of mean.
You'll find out if you listen to, well, if you're listening to this now, this is being taped right before the release of the episode one of this podcast. And we talk about Frasier or Kelsey Grammer, and what a nut he is.
That he's an insane person.
Ooh, he's an insane person. But come on to the show, Kelsey, only if you stay in character as Frasier Crane. That's who I want to talk to.
Still kind of an asshole.
That too, yes. He's definitely still kind of an asshole. But I at least appreciate that he gets a haircut in season two, not into the long, weird hair in season one.
Maybe this is for part two. Yeah. How does he slay?
You know what? I'm going to write this down for a possible episode two. Hair style.
Yeah, and how is he getting these smoking hot women?
I asked that myself about that's the question for most sitcoms, just in general. Kevin James, don't get me started.
Ugh.
But Sarah, is there anything that you want to plug that we should know about you before we depart?
Oh yeah. Well, I'm a comedian, and you can follow me on Twitter @ Sarah J. Garner.
I know I am, and I look forward to the therapist comedy material that is inevitably coming from you. Exactly. I can't wait. And the tell-all book, Raised by Psychologists. There's a loose title for you.
Yeah. I've thought about not a therapist, but almost.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. This was really fun. And all of our all of our listeners out there, I'm a huge fan of therapy, even just as much so after learning about what it's like to live with them.
Go to therapy, everybody. You'll be a better person for it.
Yes. And on that note, as Frasier says sometimes, wait, does he say goodnight, Seattle? Sometimes. Goodnight, Seattle.